If you like what you watch, then don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Twitter for the latest updates on The More Show. Remember to subscribe to our YouTube channel for new weekly television and radio shows.
My next guest is author Gregory Sams. Now, Gregory began his career pioneering natural foods in the UK and created the veggie burger. But it was his interest in chaos theory that led him to write two books. His latest book, Son of God, considers the world we live in and the light of the conscious sun. Gregory Sam, welcome to the show.
Hello, Ken.
Now, you didn't start off in this kind of work, did you? You started off in natural foods, but how did you move into chaos theory?
Well, I took a two-year advance on my retirement after I sold Veggie Burger. And then I was introduced by a Kiwi artist, Howie Cook, to chaos theory. And this really changed my life. Suddenly I had to get back into business and start spreading the word to people about this wonderful new discovery.
So what did you discover? What is chaos theory?
Chaos theory, it's not actually a theory, but it's a whole science. And the science is based on the recognition that chaotic natural systems self-organize and create form and harmony out of the chaos. So it's quite a dramatic thing to see, whether it's weather systems or human things like the airline industry. The Wright brothers never planned how much it would cost and how long it would take to travel from New York to London. They just wanted to fly.
Yeah.
But everything else just came out of the chaos. It was self-organized.
So what's the difference then between chaos and anarchy, for example?
Anarchy is a society without control. And I suppose that's one of the reasons that I wrote my first book, because I realized the scientists would never apply chaos theory to social situations, because social sciences are a no-no to scientists. So I thought, well, I've got to get this message out to the people to show them how well we do self-organize and how inefficient our governments are at providing what they promise to deliver.
So then how do you go from chaos theory to your latest book, The Son of God?
My first book looked at how chaos theory applies to human society, how we run things. And this is more looking at the cosmic and the spiritual level and seeing how the cosmos self-organizes and how life self-organizes.
So in your book, though, you say that the sun is a conscious entity, a conscious being.
That's right.
I mean, how do you come up to that conclusion?
I saw it as a blinding revelation when I was at the tender young age of 17. Then, many years later, when I started writing this book in the year 2000, I realized that this is the oldest idea on the planet. It was something that was once common understanding, you know, hardwired, intuitive understanding, whatever continent, whatever culture, whatever century you picked. And the only reason that we lost this understanding is because a brand new church on the block started burning anybody who thought this way. And when you burn people and change the culture over enough generations, people just lose that idea. And now we think it's primitive and ignorant. But the people who used to believe this, they built great civilizations and pyramids and irrigation systems and astronomy.
Why do you think the church wanted to sort of suppress that knowledge?
Well, because this was the competitor. We had three religions develop that were profit-driven and that were based on this fundamental premise that God was somebody outside the system who planned it all and set it up and taught us that these religions taught us that the entire universe had been put here for the sole benefit of humankind. Because we thought the Earth was the center of the universe, everything seemed to revolve around the Earth. So the logical extension of that was that it had all been done for us. And when the first scientists recognized that everything doesn't revolve around the Earth, the church got very upset about it. And one of them, Giordano Bruno, was burned at the stake. Copernicus died before he could face the consequences of his discovery. And Galileo was sentenced to house arrest for the rest of his life for making this suggestion. Because once you realize that the universe doesn't revolve around planet Earth, you realize that it wasn't all put here by God for our purpose.
Well, let's talk about the sun then, because this is a fascinating part of your work. Tell us what makes the sun so different from how it's made up and the thickness of it as well.
Well, it's quite a complicated organism. It's got seven different layers to it, which are all totally separate functions, separate things going on in the layers. Within the core of the sun, some of those layers rotate around each other at different speeds. And there's this massive nuclear reaction going on in the center of it, which is equivalent to like 5 million tons of matter a second is converted to energy. This would be a massive explosion. But there's a layer around this core, which is the thickness of 25 Earths, the radiative zone. And this holds that explosion in, if you like. It takes the light a million years or so to pass through that layer into the next layers of the sun, where other processes are happening. And then outside the core of outside the body of the sun that we see physically is the invisible layers of the sun, of which there are three. The corona is the outermost layer. It's even bigger than it's much bigger than the sun itself. And it's just this one invisible electromagnetic field that we only see during a total solar eclipse.
And exactly. I mean, that electromagnetic field is kind of key to your work, because we all have electromagnetic fields around us as well.
Yeah.
And it's the key to life, isn't it?
It is. I mean, life is energy. Consciousness is an energy field. We don't weigh more when we're deep in thought or less when we empty our mind in meditation. It's an energy field, and it's described as the most mysterious aspect of the human condition. Solar scientists describe the corona of the sun as the most mysterious aspect of the sun, but they do believe it manages many solar features, like solar flares, sunspots, coronal mass ejections, are all thought to be managed by the corona. But it's also thought to be the most mysterious part of the sun.
I mean, it's incredible, isn't it? I mean, just try to get your head around the intelligence of what created the sun. I mean, how can it just come from a big bang? I mean, is that possible?
Well, this is where we're looking at. This is where chaos theory has a bearing on this, because it's self-organization from the bottom up. We see it happening in weather systems, where all these water molecules self-organize into a complex weather system that might have regular cycles to it, regular patterns to it. And with a star, you have a cloud of cosmic dust that is interspersed with its electromagnetic fields. Energy fields course throughout that cloud of dust. And that is what is self-organizing into this much higher, much greater object called a sun. But we have to recognize that there is this consciousness pervading everything. There is intelligence going down to smaller levels. And we have this perverse idea that in this entire universe that's been here all these 13, 14 billion years, only human beings experience consciousness. And nothing else does, even though we realize it's the most this mysterious aspect of human existence is consciousness. We think we know enough about it to see that there's nowhere else.
And absolutely. I mean, what do you think? I mean, does science can science explain consciousness? I mean, it has tried to explain consciousness, hasn't it? But is it something we can ever work out in our lifetime?
It's a great mystery, and it's such a mystery that quite a few scientists actually don't believe that we have consciousness. They think consciousness is the great illusion, and that everything we do, our conversation, me, tapping my nose, is a result of the arrangement of particles at the Big Bang, and that we're in fact zombies. That's the term they use, that we're zombies that think we're conscious beings. So it is a mystery, and even scientists debate it, which is why I think it's a bit presumptuous of them to declare that nothing else enjoys it.
Absolutely. I mean, do you buy the Big Bang theory? Is that something that you can buy into?
It's a possibility, but it's based on the concept of a completely mechanical universe, and it's just rewinding the current rate of expansion of the universe, because the universe is expanding. It's on the assumption that it's always been expanding at that rate. If you rewind it back to a certain point, then all that expansion stops. And you have the entire universe contained in something that is infinitely smaller than the grain of sand, which is kind of a difficult concept, but who knows?
No. And I mean, could we call the moon, for example, God?
You could worship the moon. You could recognize it as a living entity. And certainly many people do. Many people have done. Many people have worshipped the other planets.
And this is where your work in animism sort of comes into effect, where they used to worship all different types of God. We spoke of the light, you know, the plants, the water. I mean, there was all sorts of different gods being worshipped at one time, but were they wrong to do that?
Well, let me first of all, the original meaning of the word worship meant to imbue the qualities of that which you're worshipping. It's not all sort of throwing yourself down on the sand and groveling to some higher being. So it's communing with nature, and animism was the precursor of all religions. People used to recognize that we are part of a living world, and they would respect trees, they would respect mountains, they would respect the moon and the sun. And this was common currency, and it was this recognition of other consciousnesses that was then sort of channeled, if you like, into religions that said these are the only ones you can...
You've never been religious, have you?
I was fortuitously spared a religious upbringing, because the only religions that we tend to see as religions are Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, whereas they're newcomers on the block. They've all been around for 1,600 to a few thousand years. Buddhism, Hinduism, Shinto, there are other religions which are not exclusive to consciousness. Hindus still recognize the sun as a living being, and they don't think I'm crazy when I talk about things like that.
No, and I suppose, you know, this is the key to the sort of cosmos jigsaw, I suppose, the sun, then, from what you're saying.
Well, I think the sun is the recognition of stellar consciousness, is the big missing piece in the cosmic jigsaw puzzle. And what amazed me when I started work on this book is how much the science fits, how much our understanding of cosmology, how stars work, how galaxies hang together, it all fits really well with stellar consciousness. And it fits really poorly with the idea of a random mechanical universe. That's one of the reasons why cosmologists have come up with the multiverse theory, because our universe is such an unlikely, incredibly unlikely phenomenon that they think, well, there must be a near infinite number of universes out there, and then with that, maybe one of them would have happened to turn out like this, because stars shouldn't even exist and matter, let alone human beings and trees and stuff like that.
Well, Greg, we'll get more into this after the break, so stay tuned, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Visit themoreshow.co.uk/shop to purchase products and services from your favourite past guests. If you're new to this site, you can also catch up on the previous television and radio shows through YouTube and the More Show website.
Welcome back. I'm joined by author, son of God, Gregory Sams. Now, Gregory, one thing I wanted to catch on with from where we last left off was the multiverse. Now, how do you believe in the multiverse?
I don't believe in... I mean, there might be other universes, but I don't believe in the multiverse principle or idea, which arose because of something called the Goldilocks enigma, which is the recognition that everything had to be just so for this universe to exist, for matter to exist, for stars to exist, let alone things like you and me. And to solve this problem, they've estimated that there are a lot of universes out there, and if you think the number of atoms in this universe have been calculated to be 10 to the power of 80. 10 to the power of 81 would be 10 times that many. And they've estimated that there need to be 10 to the power of 500 universes for one to come out just this way. And that's because they deny that there could be any possibility of consciousness existing within this universe. As I've talked about chaos theory earlier, it's consciousness from the bottom up, from the sort of subatomic particles upwards, that could be constructing higher and higher levels of consciousness. Because it's an intelligent universe. It's,
Do you believe there's consciousness on other planets out there and other solar systems?
I think there could be life, living forms like us, on other planets, and you have this sort of SETI, the search for extraterrestrial intelligence, has been going on for decades now. But I think the silly thing is that we don't recognize the highest intelligence living in our neighborhood, which is the sun. And it's as if we're all characters in a movie, and there's the lead character in the movie, the most important character in the movie. We don't even know that. I mean, the sun is the star of our movie.
And with your work in this field that you've been doing for a number of years now, you must have come across scientists that feel quite scared of coming out and talking about these subjects.
Yeah, there are a few scientists who accidentally stumbled into principles behind homeopathy. There have been some who recognized the sun as a living being, and they have their penalties for this have ranged from burning at the stake to losing their careers and their posts and their reputations, because there's a long tradition going back from the very first universities that were opened by the church, the first university since the Dark Ages, that you don't tread on anything that has been branded as occult. Anything spiritual is church territory. Science doesn't go there. And science is still obeying an old church taboo. And it's just habit. It's built into the structure of science not to look at
things.
But
do you think the scientists realize that?
No, I don't. They're missing out, because things would make a lot more sense. And I'd much rather have scientists looking at this stuff and telling me about spiritual, mystical matters, which scientists used to study pre-Roman Empire, than guys in funny outfits who are just reciting things from that were written thousands of years ago.
So it was the Roman Empire that took a lot of this information out as well?
Well, the Roman Empire made Christianity its official religion.
Yeah.
And at that point, Christians went out and they burned down libraries, universities, schools. There was a lot of knowledge in the ancient world. They weren't stupid and ignorant.
No, absolutely not. And one of the things I wanted to touch on as well, I mean, we talk about the sun being a conscious entity, but then does it know it's doing us harm when it sends out coronal mass ejections? And just for the audience, just explain what coronal mass ejections are and what harm they can cause our power grids and other electrical devices.
Coronal mass ejections have been going on for billions of years, and it's when the corona of the sun ejects millions of tons of charged plasma from it, charged particles. And if they happen to be aimed towards Earth, then they reach Earth. And the last one was the Carrington event in 1848, and some telegraph poles melted, and people could read newspapers in the middle of the night in Cuba. If one reaches us now, yeah, it will affect our power infrastructure. It will, affect our sat-nav. So those things will happen. It's not malicious intent by the sun. It's just something that happens.
And I believe someone rather famous met you up once, didn't they? Arthur C. Clarke.
Arthur C. Clarke came in when I had a shop devoted to chaos theory.
Yeah.
He saw a poster for it on the wall, redirected his taxi and came in, and we had a good chat.
Now, he pretty much brought into a lot of your work at the time, didn't he?
He really enjoyed my first book, Uncommon Sense, The State Is Out of Date. He said, makes a lot of sense, see nothing in here I disagree with.
So one of the subjects as well which you talk about was dark matter. And in the book, I've read it. But you don't agree with what NASA says about dark matter, do you?
Well, I agree with NASA's pronouncement that dark matter is a name given to the solution for a problem that hasn't been solved. Because there's no evidence for it, there's no way to touch upon it. And it's really a means, dark matter, of explaining why universes hold together. Because if it's completely just accidental balls of dumb gas bumbling along according to the forces of gravity, it doesn't work. So they've invented something to say, well, if there's dark matter, if 90 or whatever percent of the galaxy is this other stuff, then it might work. But there's no explanation how it wouldn't work.
But what is the other stuff, though? That's the key.
I say the other stuff is consciousness. It's intelligence. The reason a galaxy doesn't fall apart is because it's not stupid. And it's not made up of dumb matter acting on purely mechanical principles. It's a collection of conscious individuals, stars. I mean, stars live in communities. They live as couples. They live in stellar communities. It's not just random stuff scattered about.
No, absolutely not. And, you know, we keep on, you know, going on about the sun being conscious. But obviously, if it's conscious, then this is where sort of sun gazing comes into it, where we're able to sort of, you know, communicate with the sun in a sense. Just tell us a bit about sun gazing.
Well, sun gazing is a Hindu technique, and you need to do some practice for it. Otherwise you could do damage for the eyes, but it is sort of a staring into the sun, particular times of days or into reflections of the sun. But we're all in touch with the sun all the time, and in England, when it's a nice sunny day, we feel happy. Our spirits are lifted by that sunshine. Now that's contact. We sort of get sunlight and we feel happy. We don't get that when we go into a room, switch the lights on bright and turn the heat up. Something about those vibrations from the sun resonate us and lift our spirits.
But do you think now that we're more sort of advanced than we were, even back 50 years ago, we're still not very, you know, spiritually connected with these elements, are we?
No, we're not. I mean, the whole idea of being spiritually connected, if this has been drummed out of our system by the predominant religions that are on the planet, who see sun worship and the sun as the major competitor.
But is that the main reason why we're not as spiritually connected with these, with the consciousness like the sun?
People used to be spiritually connected with the world, not just with the sun, but with their local forest, with their local springs, their local mountains. They were part of the living world around them. And it's strictly the profit-driven religions that taught us that human beings are conscious, God is conscious, and the devil and angels are conscious. Everything else isn't. And this is a sort of crazy kind of notion, if you ask me. But that is why people used to see themselves as part of a living world and not the only living part of that world.
And also, I mean, does this work into this whole sort of change that everyone keeps talking about, in this whole sort of conscious shift change as well?
I believe so. There are greater cycles of the sun and the sun and its companion star Sirius that are reputed to affect the whole course of civilization and the way we think and the way our culture develops over periods of thousands of years. There's been books written on that, which...
Well, that's right, because, there's going to be a change of the alignment of the stars soon. I mean, the stars are always changing their alignment.
Yeah, they're always moving.
But there's a certain alignment that's coming into fruition soon that they say is going to, you know, bring up a great change consciously to us as a species.
Well, I get asked this question a lot on what that change is likely to be, and we've only got about a year or so to wait to find out.
Or that change is already happening.
Or the change is already happening, for sure. And it's an exciting time to live in.
Are you excited by it?
I'm excited by it, yeah. Yeah. Interesting times.
But then again, do you think that this change is part of the riots that have happened recently and all the upheaval with the economy and everything? I mean, I've asked this to a few other people that have come on my show because I always find it so interesting to be a sort of now subject.
Well, there was a large solar storm just prior to the riots which erupted in Tottenham and across England a few weeks back. And this was the effect of these charged protons hitting the Earth is to emphasize and accentuate anything that is going on. I was at a big festival in Hungary that weekend, and many of the DJs there said it was the best festival they had ever been to. Meanwhile, a little riot started in London, and it was the best riot London had ever had, or the worst riot, but it was magnified in its intensity. And I was really surprised to see, I forget which newspaper had a story saying that a couple of weeks ago. Connecting those the solar storm to the riots in London.
And do you think we're out of practice, you know, with our communication with the sun? Do you think we should be communicating on a different level somehow?
Absolutely. I think recognition that the sun is our source of life and is a living being is going to change our relationship with it, because we are children of the stars. All of the 93% of the matter in our body used to be a part of the body of a star, because the universe started out as simple hydrogen gas. All the other elements were forged by stars, from oxygen and carbon to gold and silver, And the power of our life is recycled sunlight.
And if you just think of the sheer number of stars out there, there's a lot of God's God in out there, isn't there?
There's a lot of stellar beings out there. It's the original life form of the universe is stars.
And your final word to the audience, Greg?
My final word to the audience is appreciate the sun. It is the source of our life. And we spend more time thinking about what sunglasses to buy than about the nature of the most important character of the star of our movie. So connect and think about that.
Well, Gregory, thank you so much for joining us today. Don't go anywhere, as after the break, I'll be talking to Samantha McCandless via video link.
If you like what you watch, then don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Twitter for the latest updates on The More Show. Remember to subscribe to our YouTube channel for new weekly television and radio shows.